that you were here. I was just...
I got to stop using the
I've got all those pull-ups there.
You can put like a pad of paper on it or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, as you can tell, we are absolutely in session here at our Joint Committee on Ways and Means Education Subcommittee. I want to open a work session. How's that? I want to open a work session on for the Department of Higher Education report on a plan change for uses for certificates of participation authorized for the 05-07 biennium. And I'm going to turn it over to Legislative Fiscal Office Steve Bender with an explanation. So, Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I hope that that description of your item didn't sound dull or anything, because it's actually a very interesting topic. And what we have here is a situation where last session the legislature approved $20 million of certificates of participation in the Department of Higher Education budget. And they were approved for a number of items. What certificates of participation are, they are a debt instrument that is used in the higher ed budget to purchase equipment and certain types of facility upgrades, for example, for telecommunication systems and things of that nature. What the reason why this item is before you today is the Department of Higher Education would like to use a portion of those $20 million that the legislature authorized last session for purposes that are different than what they had originally planned to use them for. You have two items before you relating to this item on your agenda. The first is on white paper, and it is actually the BAM analysis of the request. It says Department of Higher Education Analyst McGee, and attached to that on the back is the actual request from the Oregon University System. The yellow sheet is the LFO recommendation, and on the back of that recommendation, I've just added for you, these are the projects that were originally approved for certificates of participation in the budget. I do want to note one thing. This is legally, the budget law did not restrict the COPs, as they're called, to these items. But the Department of Administrative Services, who is responsible for issuing the COPs, very commendably, I think, has said that they would not want to issue them for another purpose unless they reported to you and you acknowledge that you heard that and are okay with it. So.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to call forth Mr. Jay Kenton, Vice Chancellor for Finance and Administration at the Oregon University System, Mr. Mark Cambridge, the Vice President for Finance and Administration at Oregon State University, and Bill McGee, the DAS Budget and Management Division. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you. Chairman Palizio, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Jay Kenton, Vice Chancellor of Finance and Administration, Oregon University System. With me today is Mr. Mark McCambridge, VP of Finance for OSU, and we're here, as Steve mentioned, to request that you acknowledge receipt of a report regarding the proposed change in use of previously authorized COP proceeds. I'll introduce this item briefly and then turn to Mark, who will give you a more detailed explanation of the request. As Mr. Bender mentioned, in 0507, legislature authorized OUS to sell $20 million in COPs to use for various technology improvement projects. Since this approval, OSU, among other OUS institutions, has encountered significant financial challenges and thus has had to change plans regarding these IT investments. This proposed change in use of COP proceeds has been reviewed and approved by the State Board of Higher Education at their January 2007 meeting. I'll now turn to Mark, who will talk to you about the details of the request.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Mark McCambridge. I'm the Vice President for Finance and Administration at Oregon State University. I would first comment that I appreciate Mr. Bender and Mr. McGee's analysis and detailed description of what we're trying to do. OSU would like to issue approximately $2.2 million in COPs to purchase equipment for the Veterinary Medicine Hospital on our campus, as well as equipping the new clinical area for the Humane Society in Portland, where our vet med school has developed a relationship with the folks at the Humane Society to allow for internships for our students, practicums, as you would say. So the equipment will go to the to those two facilities. In the case of equipment that will go onto our campus, it will supply some additional equipment for the new small animal hospital that was completed about a year ago, as well as equip the presently under construction large animal hospital addition to the veterinary school. I think originally we believed that we would receive a fairly significant cash donation from a donor to VetMed, and that it would that a fair amount of that would be discretionary, and it turned out that that endowment, a very significant one, turned out to be all that the donor wished it to be all endowed, but it does spin off a significant amount of earnings per year, and we should be able to fund the debt service on this with those funds. So with that, I would entertain any questions.
No questions, Senator Devlin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the previous session, we discussed the package for the COTs, and I do see here, and I recognize that that's a decision up to the university and the Board of Higher Education not to proceed with the telecommunications. Basically, I think when you refer to telecommunications there, you're referring to the telephone system. Is that correct?
Well, it was both telephone and technology infrastructure.
Okay.
that was originally planned.
And could this be characterized as something that we are now deferring?
That is correct.
That we would have not a particularly long range in terms of when you'll be back needing to do something with it?
That depends on the outcome of this session.
Great answer.
It's a very honest
well, answer.
If I had to have the the worst possible guess I could have would be that you have technology that probably predates my attendance in the Oregon University system. Would that be a fair assumption?
You know, there may be a few pieces around Senator Devlin. Not many.
Well, I won't go there, actually. I was going to reference Representative Jensen, but...
No, we're getting along. Senator, we're getting along very well thus far in this session, in this committee, so let's...
But I just, you know, in some one sense, it looks positive that you're not spending $9 million in another. I just think that it's only going to be a few years and you're going to be back wanting to do something with that system.
I think that is fair to say, Senator Kevin.
Questions or comments? Senator Morse?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe this is a question best addressed to Jay. Looking at the ASH report, of the $20 million that was approved, it looks like we're going to actually use about $8.5 million of that, which, of course, your revised plan would be part of the $8.5. I guess maybe a little commentary of why the 20 was asked for, but only 8.5 is being used.
Mr. Chair, Senator Morse, that's a good question, and I think the answer lies largely in the fact that financial difficulties that universities are confronting today, they're re-scrutinizing expenditures and plans and deferring debt in particular where, you know, they don't have the operating funds in this biennium anyway to fund that debt service. So I think everybody's gone back to the drawing board, looked at it. They had the best laid plans, if you will, that are getting deferred now.
Thank you. Other questions?
Representative Ward?
If I could just ask Mr. Bender if the LFO recommendation is the same as the DAS recommendation?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. If you're ready for a motion.
I think first I'm going to go to get the DAS recommendation and then
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So,
Mr. McGee.
Mr. McGee.
Department of Administrative Services. We did ask the Department of Higher Education to bring this forward to you because of the change in purpose in the COPs. These are considered to, by the bond market to be general fund backed, even though they are debt services not directly paid with general funds. So we've asked them to bring you back, and now we would also recommend, having done so, that you acknowledge receipt of the report.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments on the DAS
report? Well, Mr. Chair, I have one question of Mr. Bender.
Okay.
Does this add to our debt service that you talked about the other day when you cast a pall over the testimony about the reality of spending?
Actually, the debt service will be less than the legislature anticipated 2 years ago because, again, they're only asking for 2.2 of the original 9.8.
Okay.
And also, there were other items outside of Oregon State University that haven't been, they haven't actually used the COPs that were authorized. So the debt service will be lower than had been expected.
Thank you. That's a cheery.
Okay, can I just turn it over to Ms. Bennett for the LFO?
Thank you. Our Legislative Fiscal Office also recommends that you acknowledge receipt of the report, which essentially will give DAS, well, after doing so, DAS will go ahead and issue the COPs. One small item I'd like to add to that is when we discuss this with the co-chairs who have to approve putting items on the agenda, they did say that they thought it was important to put on the record that that the university should only proceed with this if they do not anticipate any specific state funding additionally for this purpose, because that's not something that they should be anticipating.
So noted. Mm-hmm. All right. Any questions or comments on the LFO recommendation? Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move that the LFO and DAS recommendation be moved to the full committee with a DUPAS recommendation.
Representative Morgan has moved that the LFO and DAS or BAM recommendation be moved to the floor with a DUPAS recommendation. I'm blanking out. Any discussion? Are there any objections? Okay, so moved. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Would you like to appoint a carrier to the full committee?
Yes, I would like to appoint a carrier to the full committee. Thank you very much. So, Senator Morse, will you carry the bill to the full committee? Thank you very much. Thank you. So, closing the work session on the certificates of participation. And momentarily, you're ready. Okay, I'm going to now open a work session on Senate Bill 5523, the State Library. I'm going to turn it over to Michelle Deister on North Side of Fiscal. Michelle?
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we are passing out a couple of things for your information, one of which is a correction to the prioritization form that was provided by the agency yesterday. Yesterday's version did not include their policy option package, so we wanted to get the corrected form to you. Also attached are the customer survey responses requested by Representative Edwards. I've got my work session recommendations also before you, and I'm happy to walk through those.
Thank you.
For the State Library, the legislative... Oh, I'm sorry?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if we actually have those.
Oh.
Okay. We didn't get this in this table.
Okay. We'll take it.
Okay.
Thank you for being so observant, Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chair, I received one.
I too received one. So, but we do have a shortage. So, apologize for that one.
Okay. Thank you. You're welcome.
What would a discussion about the State Library be without a lot of paper to read?
There you go.
This is very important.
Okay, yes, I acknowledge it's much easier to follow along if we're all looking at the same thing. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends a budget for the Oregon State Library of $14,791,551 and 42.47 FTE for the 2007-09 biennium. This recommendation is a 2.94% increase from the 05-07 legislatively approved budget. You'll see a series of tables that give you historical information on the LFO recommendation. The first one is agency-wide, and then we go through program by program. The LFO recommendation includes a recommendation to approve the following packages. Package 101, you heard yesterday, which is the increase in the ready-to-read grant of $286,066 general fund. And, of course, it includes the funding to provide the funding for the minimum grant level. The minimum grant level won't come into play unless House Bill 2116 is actually passed, which is a separate piece of legislation by the body. So, there is also in this recommendation a recommendation to approve a technical adjustment to the State Library's budget. The State Library has brought to our attention the fact that a lot of local libraries are seeking their help in terms of web hosting and some technical assistance with regard to websites. Right now, their staff for that particular function is located in the Government Research and Electronic Services Program. However, that is a program that is funded exclusively right now by other firms' state assessments. And state assessments are only supposed to be used for those activities that benefit state employees and state agencies. So what you'll see in Package 801 is a fund shift to partially fund 10% of an IS person's time from other funds to federal funds that will enable them to basically provide this service without running afoul of the limitations on the state assessment other funds. So it's a shift from one funding source to the other. And the federal funds that will be used there are the Federal Library Service and Technology Act dollars. The State Library also requested funding for reclass of a particular position. The LFO recommendation is to go ahead and allow the reclass, but direct the agency to fund that internally and not provide additional resources for that purpose. So, are there any questions?
For the entire, are you talking about on that particular item?
On that particular item.
Okay.
So I guess with that, we can go ahead and look for a motion. We're going to need a motion to do that for
you. Oh, okay. So it looks like we need is there a motion to do the shifting of the funds? Is that Senator Devlin?
I believe what the LFO analyst is asking for is to approve a motion to amend Senate Bill 5523 by approving the following changes to line 13 delete $5,720,192 and insert $5,671,924. I didn't say that correctly, but they'll get it on the tape. And on line 18, delete $4,588,922 and insert $4,637,190.
And just as a clarification, that will need to be a conceptual amendment because we don't have those the actual amendment back from Legislative Council yet. So,
And Mr. Chairman, my amendment was a conceptual amendment.
You would know it. Thank you.
Are you allowed to do those in Ways and Means?
Oh, yes.
Steve says yes.
Well, you know, I'm going to protest because we don't get to do that in policy committee.
These words, numbers.
All right.
Okay. Is there any discussion or questions about the conceptual amendment?
I want you to repeat it, Mr. Chair. Kidding.
Okay, so do I need a gavel for the...
Just ask if there are any objections.
Well, I did. Any objections? No objections. Members adopted.
All right. I've also got a recommendation on the performance measures for the State Library. And let me just, for your reference, so that you know, the detail of what you just approved is in the work session action report, which are these forms by program unit, so that you can see the fund shift in the particular library development you can see the fund shift in the GRES program and the additional funding for the Ready to Read grant is lined out there in library development as well. So, but if you turn to the back, you will see LFO recommendations with regard to performance measures. We walked through those yesterday, and the LFO recommendation with regard to the performance measures includes adjustment of targets in measures 1, 9, and 10 pursuant to the discussion that we had yesterday with regard to the timing of when those particular performance measures were adopted and the fact that those targets needed to be adjusted to reflect updated and better information. And you'll also notice that the target for key performance measure number 8 was adjusted to incorporate package 101. Had package 101, if package 101 is not approved, that target would have been flat at about 25-26%. LFO recommends the deletion of Measure 14 as a standalone measure. There has been some discussion about whether or not that can be incorporated into Measure 15, and I think perhaps there may need to be some additional clarification with regard to that. There's also the addition that we recommend of a new measure for all agencies that have advisory boards. That was approved by, recommended by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee to use best practices in terms of their interaction with particular state agencies. So we would recommend that be incorporated as well into the agency's performance measures.
Okay, are there any questions or comments on the recommendation on the performance measures? No? Okay. Do you have a motion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we approve the performance measures as summarized in the attached worksheet and explained to us by the LFO analyst.
Okay. Senator Devlin has moved that we approve the performance measures as summarized in the worksheet and recommended by LFO. Any objections? No? Seeing none? Performance measures have been approved.
Okay.
And
just need a final motion.
Okay. And now if we have a motion on the bill as a whole. Senator Devlin?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Subcommittee on Education move Senate Bill 5523 as amended to the full Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Devlin has moved that the Senate Bill 5523 as amended to be moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? Okay. Is that moved?
Now we need carriers.
Now we need carriers, that's right. Representative, oh yeah, we just need a full, yeah. So.
Representative Edwards?
All right, Representative Edwards, would you carry the bill to the full committee?
I'd be happy to.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
We need to carry this bill. Page four.
Oh, that's right. Does that mean you're... How about Senator Decker? Did you carry the bill to the Senate floor?
Ready to read. I would be delighted, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Decker will carry the bill to the Senate. And Representative Edwards, will you carry this bill to the House floor?
I sure will.
Thank you very much. Representative Edwards will carry the bill.
Chairman, if I can have a comment.
Absolutely. Senator Devlin?
If you have one no vote on the House floor, you probably failed as a carrier.
Duly noted. Duly noted. Thank you for that test of my performance.
May I comment on that?
Yes, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. I think the good senator should know that that's an extremely high standard.
This is why I want to get to the floor.
Is it
okay to work in the Senate?
Yeah. All right, we'll close the work session on House Bill, Bill 5523. And before we adjourn, I'd like to have a little discussion about the calendar in the short term. Number one, about the... Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Immediately, the Thursday, we're going to be hearing Senate Bill 426A, the pooling of the insurance for the school employees, and we're going to have public testimony on Thursday. However, prior to that, we have a work session scheduled the health licensing agency. We have a work session. We're going to do the work session first. So it would be phenomenal if we can get here at 3:00. We can do the work session. It might take half hour, 40 minutes for that work session. But if we can start as close to 3:00 this Thursday as possible, that would really be helpful so that then we can give time for the public testimony on the pooling for the school insurance, the school employees bill, because we have people who are going to be driving some over 100 miles here. And if you can clear out your schedule, and you should have received an email, I hope you have, to about 5:00 this Thursday. That's the goal. So that'll be this Thursday. So again, 3:00 we'll start the work session promptly, and then we'll go till 5:00 public testimony. The way I've set it up is there's going to be 15 minutes for the proponents to talk about the Senate Bill 426 and describe it and explain why they think it's a good bill. 15 minutes for those who have questions about the bill. And then we're just going to have, instead of not invited testimony, but just public testimony, it's going to alternate back and forth between proponents and opponents. And depending on the number of people, it might be sort of 3-4 minute opportunities to speak. Then the following Tuesday, which is February 20th, that is the day we will have most likely some more testimony, but then we will have the work session on February 20th, next Tuesday. That's the day we will vote on that bill. That's the plan. And on that day, Legislative Fiscal is going to bring us, if I'm not mistaken, right, you're going to an analysis of sort of at least the cost of kind of implementation.
Yes.
Is that
so
a correct way to...
That's certainly our plan, yes.
That's the plan. So we'll have that as well. I'm wondering if there are there any questions?
Well,
I hope this is clear.
There is one hiccup, I guess. I have an eye doctor's appointment on Tuesday in Eugene at 4:45. It takes me an hour to get there, so I have to leave at 3:45 on Tuesday.
Okay.
This is an eye doctor appointment that took me 6 to 8 weeks to get. And I can't see out of my glasses, so...
This is a problem. Okay.
I need a new prescription. So anyway, that's
so you have to leave at 3:45?
No later than 3:45.
Oh, boy. That's quite a hiccup.
So that's if you do it on Tuesday. If you do it on Monday, you don't know.
Yeah, the problem with... Well, my understanding is the problem with Monday is that we won't have the LFO analysis unless they worked really, 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 really enough.
One option, I mean, just to remind the committee that both the Senate co-chair and vice co-chair are eligible to come in and vote if you no longer have a quorum or sufficient votes at that time.
Okay.
That
you might need to.
That's important information to know. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions or issues?
Just for my own clarification, sure. My understanding is that the bill has been heard in Senator Walker's committee on the Senate side,
right.
And then was referred to Ways and Means. And then from Ways and Means, can you tell us what the path is that the bill will take through the process?
Sure, the path is we will hear the bill on Thursday and then vote on it Tuesday. And then it, pardon me? Then it, yeah. And then perhaps Friday the, what would that be, the 24th?
23rd,
excuse me. It will be heard by the full Ways and Means Committee.
And then it will go
to the Senate floor.
And then where will it go after the Senate floor?
To the Speaker of the House, and then perhaps to that. I think they're going to. Although I don't know for certain, but I imagine it would go to the House floor.
Mm-hmm. So there is no intention to have a policy discussion on the House side in an education policy committee.
Well, we certainly, you know, the distinction made in terms of, you know, policy and fiscal is obviously there's a lot of gray area, but this bill was certainly heard on the Senate side and the policy committee. It's not a new bill. It's been around for a couple sessions. Granted, there have been some changes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think this committee is perfectly capable of vetting it to the degree necessary, and I don't know how many House members were active, Senator Walker, in or were at your committee hearings. Were there
any
House members?
House members testify, Mr. Chairman?
You had how many meetings were there or held?
On the phone bill, we had one hearing.
One hearing?
Yeah, because it's... Yeah. Well, veterans over here.
So I would invite if House members want to show up on Thursday or even next Tuesday, I think that'd be a great thing.
If I might just make a comment.
Sure.
There has been, I think, as a matter of the way the process has operated, a pretty clear division maintained between the policy side of the building and the fiscal side of the building. And the idea is that the fiscal folks don't make policy and the policy folks don't do fiscal issues. And this is a bill that was worked on the House side in the 03 session extensively, but it wasn't worked in the House side at all during the last session. There were no hearings held on it. And there are a number of people in the process now that haven't had part of a policy discussion. So it is my personal feeling that it is somewhat of an element of dishonoring here to the process that the policy folks on the House side are being left out of a discussion of this bill, because it is a pretty sweeping change in public policy and one that's going to have a big impact as we move forward, and I think it is a disservice to the process that we aren't giving the policy people a chance to weigh in on it.
Mr. Chair, I can respond.
Senator Walker.
Thank you. It's not uncommon, as Representative Morgan knows, for bills to come from a policy committee to Ways and Means, pop out, go to the floor, and then go directly to the floor of the other chamber. That's not an uncommon occurrence. It happens all the time. There are bills that are starting on the House side that will come from policy committees, come down here, and then pop up and go over and not see one policy committee on the Senate. It's just the way it works, and you've been here a long time, you know that. So while you may feel that way, I think there's opportunity for members to either participate in the hearing, which apparently now we're having a couple of hearings, and they can listen on the television in their offices if they don't have time to come sit here. But I think there is a lot of opportunity for participation.
Yeah. Representative Jensen, sorry.
With all due respect to my friend from the state senator from Eugene, I think the frequency with which this happens is rarer than it's being portrayed. And I think when you're dealing with a topic that is as fraught with controversy as this particular measure is, controversy basically that is a nonpartisan controversy out there in the real world where we all have to go home to, I think I personally too, as I've expressed this to Chair, am uncomfortable without having it go through a full substantive policy hearing on the House side. I understand that there is some attempt and effort to fast-track this bill, perhaps for reasons unknown to me, but that might even be revealed in policy hearing. I don't know. So just for the record, I do question our procedure, and I do appreciate, Mr. Chair, that there are restraints put on all of us in this building, and we deal with the cards that were dealt and go from there. So with that, I'll...
Sure. Thank you, Representative. And I just want to make it really clear. Originally, we were going to have a work session this Thursday. We're going to have testimony in a work session, and I heard the concerns from Representative Morgan and Representative Jensen, so we changed that process, and I think there will be ample opportunity, and there has been ample opportunity to discuss this bill, both at a policy level. So I appreciate the concerns, but this decision, I'm taking full responsibility for this decision. I think it's the right thing to do. I think we're fully vet. We're going to have an opportunity to have lengthy discussion of the bill, and it's not a question of sort of any kind of pressure beyond this. This is what I, as the chair, think that is enough for the process. So
I just wanted to say that I appreciate the thoughtfulness with which the chair has looked at this and weighed this, and as he's moved forward with it, and I am thankful for that and appreciate that, and I'd like the public or like the record to show that it's my opinion that he has given it a considerable thought before moving ahead.
I appreciate that, Senator Bethel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to put on the record that I respect the comments of all of my colleagues from both the House and the Senate on both sides of the aisle. And we all know who've been here a while that sometimes, well, those of us that try to get small bills to come to Ways and Means usually don't even expect them to come out of Ways and Means many times. But most bills that come out of a policy on one side go to Ways and Means and then go directly to both floors. Major bills sometimes actually only come out of Ways and Means and actually go to or come out of a policy committee on one side and also just go directly to both floors. I can think of an example now that I don't believe the I would consider them fairly major. Others may not consider them obviously as major as this bill. But I don't think I don't think that the policy bills on biofuels and the policy bills on renewable energy will come to the Senate committees.
They're intent, they will. Yeah, they will.
Well, they're going from...
Not that we need to open this whole...
No, but I mean, there are... Well, I was told today that one of them probably will not, actually. I don't know if the revenue chair knows that, but one of them will not, actually. So
we can discuss that. We can discuss
If you look at the record, you will find major bills that have went from one side of one chamber to Ways and Means, and then went to both chambers without going to a substantive committee on the other side. I mean, I think I just wanted to put on the record that, and I think Representative Jensen did that when he said that he recognizes that sometimes these are the way things are done. I believe it's not setting a precedent to do this. I think we've done it in the past. That's the basic message.
Okay, Representative Morgan, this is going to be the final comment on this.
Okay, this is a question to my counterparts over on the other side of the building. Then are we to assume that this path is the path that will be most often used for bills that are coming through the process?
I think that decision will be, to some extent, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
To some extent up to the co-chairs, but actually up to the presiding officers in both chambers, because they get to decide where bills are referred, and that's ultimately their decision.
And I would only make the comment that I would question the precedent that it sets, because I think that it leaves the policy side or the fiscal side, probably the policy side of one chamber or the other, out of a discussion, and that is, I think, missing some opportunities for people to understand the concepts.
Okay, duly noted. So, one more thing. Oh,
hi,
Senator Walker.
Yes. In relation to what we've been discussing, only to alert you that Friday, February 23rd, is one of our travel meetings for the Senate Education Policy Committee, on which Senator Moore sits. And so he is scheduled to be with me in Ashland that day. And that's just to let you know.
Just kind of an FYI.
Right. And he's on the phone.
Do we have you carrying? No, we
don't. He was a no on Senate 426, and I anticipate he would be a no again.
Well, yeah, we can get into it in the work session. I think there's a more rational process that we should go through, but we can discuss that.
Okay. Second thing I wanted to just touch base really quickly is the meeting at, we're going on the road.
Yeah, next Wednesday.
To the Portland State University next Wednesday, February 21st. And you should have received at least one email. Portland State is offering a tour starting at 4 o'clock of Lincoln Hall and the new science building. And so if you can make it at 4 o'clock, that tour will be available. Obviously, we're not meeting directly at that time. The actual meeting is scheduled for 4:30 till 7. And one interesting note that I have to say, because I have to. Steve, can you just explain this? I think it's funny. So you can explain.
Thank you. We're going to be providing transportation to legislators who want that. However, an option is if you want to drive on your own, Portland State University was interested in providing complimentary parking passes for legislators who chose that option. It turns out, though, that for reserved parking, the value of this pass exceeds $10. Therefore, House members are in violation of House rules if they accept that. Portland State.
Portland
Chair, State. Excuse me. A little righteous indignation. That's just.
Excuse me. You're on the record.
I know. I should be on the record. That's just sheer nonsense. If you're worried about a parking
pass. Senator, I do think I'm absolutely going to speak to the folks on the Guidelines Committee, right? Guidelines. Isn't that the term we're using? So, but I'm not sure
Mr. Bender finished his conversation.
Oh, I'm sorry. The House
members are excluded from accepting it, but the Senate is not.
That's correct. Senate members are not excluded. Portland State decided that they would look for a unreserved parking spot that would be worth less than $5 and did not feel comfortable offering senators better parking spots than representatives. But the chair has graciously indicated that he is fine with Portland State offering senators reserved parking spots if they so desire. House members still will be offered the lower parking, the less desirable parking, and of course you can always pay for parking if that's what you prefer to do.
I can assure you that getting a parking space at Portland State University will not impact how I vote on their bill.
Very good. If anyone thinks it might, I'm sorry. No, I just...
We're just talking about a piece of asphalt here.
Yes, and a $5 parking spot for Portland State is parking in Gresham, I think, is where you'd have to park. Maybe this is encouraging carpooling. Yes, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In light of the fact that it's apparent this body has more money than it knows what to do with, I will submit my bill to this body for reimbursement.
Well, my suggestion is that you go before the House Committee and see if they'll define this as a snack.
Or I can also say, Mr. Chair, I'm happy to give someone a ride, though I do have a dinner engagement after.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, and we are adjourned.